Fleeger and Briggs here. Ever dreamed of owning a piece of your favorite sports team? Now you can buy or sell your favorite teams on the world's first sports stock market app.
That's right, Rick. Download the free All Sports Market app on Apple and Android and start investing in your favorite teams today. You earn dividends every time your teams win, and you can turn those dividends into profits that can be used for in-app upgrades and other features. Challenge your friends or compete against the rest of the world.
Download the app and use referral code DeLorean when you register, and you could win your very own DeLorean. How cool is that? Check it out on asmfree.com or in the iTunes store. Again, that's asmfree.com. Don't be left out.
Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Fleeger and Rick Briggs.
Coming to you live from Studio B in the second Asylum Fantasy Network complex. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
We are Fleeger and Briggs. If you did not know that, you should by now. And I'll tell you what, the search for a producer is ongoing. Colgate is now basically on the ropes. Had a sit-down meeting with him.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
It's terrible. So if you know a good producer out there with a lot of good credentials and doesn't like to be paid much.
Right, or anything for that matter.
Yeah, or anything at all.
If you're willing to travel to Western Pennsylvania, work for free, and do a good job, send us your resume, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what a nightmare, Rick. Every single night. No matter what we do. Technical issues. I can't even scream at Blog Talk this time. It's not their fault. Yet.
Yeah, yet. Exactly.
There's 58 minutes left in this show. We'll see what happens there. But, Rick, coming off the heels last week at Georgia Animal Steel, talking a little wrestling, time to get back on track, Rick. It is now officially July 1st, 2015. We got to get ready for fantasy football. It's time, my friend.
You're not kidding. Training camp begins in July, and this is July 1st, and the Asylum is here on July 1st to get you started. We will take you on a journey from training camp to title.
Oh, absolutely.
Simple as that.
And looking at doing some things with training camp, we got some good news this week. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag just yet because
we don't know how good
a news it is. But maybe doing some special things with training camp. One thing I am comfortable saying, if you've been listening to all the shows here on the Asylum Sports Network, and if you haven't been, shame on you. Rick and I will be at the Hall of Fame induction, the Hall of Fame game, and on Radio Row at the Pro Football Hall of Fame once again this season. I believe, what, Rick? It's like August 6, 7, and 8, 7, yep. 8, and 9, somewhere in there. A lot of the network's going to be there. We're going to do some. We're going to get some interviews and do some special shows out there with all members of the Asylum Network. So if you're a fan of the network, and I wouldn't know why you wouldn't be, August is going to be a good month for you.
Yeah, so stick with the Asylum. You know, tell some people to, tune in. And, I mean, it's such a nice
being
variety.
So lazy, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean,
spread the word. Just send out a tweet. Just mention, add Asylum football. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, don't be lazy. Yeah, I mean, we're not. We show up all the time.
We are just killing ourselves here.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I'll tell you what.
But we have a nice variety on the Asylum Fantasy Sports Network. And, Bob Long, the FF Consistency Show, we have Chris Howe, we have Sports Rants with Chris Howe, we have, the Mad Scientist, Nick Ficarelli, we have Racing Times with Robin and Alan, and of course, your boys right here.
The big sillies, you know, this is where it's at right here.
Exactly.
But, hey, when we get out to the Hall of Fame, I believe our friend Heil's going to be out there.
Yes, Bob Long will be there driving all
these
celebs.
Did he drive guys around or something? He was rolling with John Madden last year, wasn't he? Wonder if we can get in on that.
I don't know. I don't want to be driving people around. I want people driving me
around. I just want to sit in the passenger seat, and then when we get them stuck in traffic and nowhere to go, you stick the microphone on their face. That's just being a good journalist there, Rick. That's journalism, pal.
It depends on who he has. He may be kind of big. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, our luck.
Close quarters, we might get killed.
Well, the other one, though, is going to be a radio legend. You sell that audio, the show's going to take off.
That's a good point.
Hey, you're older, a little weaker. I think you're the one we sacrifice.
Well, I mean, that's an easy sacrifice.
You're kind of like when them two donkeys broke out of the prison. Eventually, the young guy said, "You're finished. You're holding me back." Now he's back in prison, but the old guy's dead. So you sacrifice the old guy, got within
Who's better off?
I'd probably rather be dead than go where the other guys go. Give me a couple in the head.
So who's the smart one?
Well, I've never argued to be intelligent, Rick. That's not what I'm saying. I want to be famous and rich, and I got to figure out how to do that being as stupid as I am.
That's true. Hey, but it is July. We're moving into training
fantasy
camp.
Fantasy football.
Pretty soon, coming out on the fantasygreek.com, it will be available, will be his 2015 fantasy football guide. And your boys here are contributing writers to that.
We're all over it.
And
call it the Flieger and Briggs fantasy football guide.
Yeah. And
grinding.
You'll find some articles in there by me, like the top 10 overrated players, the top 10 underrated players, some Steeler profiles. And my boy Rick here has a top 10 comeback players of the year, and that's what we're going to preface on tonight's show.
Right, taking a look at
it. I'm going to tear it apart.
Yeah, I got a confession to make here, and both of you listening, keep this quiet. If you know Jim, the fantasy Greek, most of these I stand firmly behind. A couple of them I threw out there just to piss Rick off. I'm not going to lie, and I'll let you guys decide which ones they were.
I'll know which ones they
are. I know, because you'll be over there spitting nails or however that saying goes. Here's the point, and I'm going to preface this, and I'm going to say it now so I don't say it with each individual pick so it doesn't sound like everything I wrote is bunk. In this, there were some cases where, number one, I'm just trying to piss Rick off, which I'm really good at generally, and so this is just more. This is what I do. This is how I have my fun. My life generally stinks. So poking the bear, that's my everyone has their thing. You know, some people jog, some people do whatever people do for fun. I try to make Rick's life more miserable, thus making mine seem better. Other guys, I'm not 100% convinced and have a hard time with any conviction saying these guys are actually going to have huge bounce backs, but I think they're real good potential candidates for that.
Right.
So that being said, we'll leave it at that. I'm going to stand behind the list. I think the potential's there. All 10 obviously aren't going to hit. I'm not that good. Probably only 8 will. Yeah, I'm about 80%, I'd say.
Yeah,
that's
probably
a fair number. Yeah,
maybe 9.
Yeah, if things went well. And then there'll be the one that's in there just to really, really ruin Rick's day. So I'm going to take it right from the top here. Put in the leading paragraph, if you're waiting for RG3 to be on that list, he's not. Stop. Not buying it. Did you see what Mark Brunell said about him, by the way, today?
Yes, Mark Brunell says he's not good enough.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's listening to Mark Brunell right now. He broke as a joke, but whatever. Right. We'll leave that at that.
But, I mean, you know, you have to go back. Brunell had some pretty good years as a NFL quarterback.
When he had Jimmy Smith and, I'm blanking.
Keenan McCardell. Fred Taylor as a running back.
Those Jaguar teams were scary. If you ever get a chance, Rick, the Football Life, they did one with McCardell and, now I just blanked on the other, Jimmy Smith. Amazing television. You got to check that out.
Will do.
And all the troubles that Jimmy Smith had and how they ran parallel and were such. I mean, you remember this. This was an expansion team in its second year, was minutes away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
This team was a perennial power when the four of those guys were together. Brunell, the two receivers, and don't forget Fred Taylor, certainly. Anyway, way off track. Let's swing it on back here.
I don't think any one of those four are going to be a comeback player of the year.
No, not this year.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 10 years ago we could have put one of them on the list. First one, Rick, I think is real obvious. I think it's even the cheap way out, and I sort of allude to that in the article.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. He qualifies, and he's the number one player in fantasy football, in my opinion. Is there anything to discuss here? I think clearly.
Certainly would be comeback player of the year material for me. There's no doubt.
Is there any chance, Rick, that we're too far in, all of us? I haven't heard anyone say. I've heard people say they're cautiously optimistic that they don't have. I got them ranked number one right now. You know, people have them down fourth or fifth. You don't see them any lower than that. Is there any chance that year off hurts him? I think it only helps. I really – plus the motivation. Is there a chance, albeit a small chance, that we're all going to have egg on our face and regret this?
No.
Good. I didn't think so either.
I can't – look, you could name 10 other football players and say, is there a chance with this year off, blah, blah. And I'd say, yeah. But I don't think so with Peterson.
He's too good.
Yeah.
He's mad.
Right.
Now, injury, obviously,
and he
but
is
you can't
a,
predict
he,
that.
He's a fitness freak.
Right.
He keeps himself in just remarkable condition. And he the year off, to me, it, to your point, I think only helps because he's at that year.
Right. This should be the declining
year. It could be, you know, the stepping stone to decline, as you say, but I don't think so. I think he's going to be just as good.
Right. He's a year healthier. He's motivated. I like what they did in his absence, and I think that's a big part of it too. Teddy Bridgewater came a long way in a short period of time last year. They had success with those other backs. They've got weapons in there now at the wide receiver position. This team's primed. If they were in any other division, they're in a murderer's row of a division right now.
But look at Chicago.
Well, they stink.
Eh, look at Detroit.
I'm buying into Detroit. We'll get into that later list.
It could be, but see,
there's question marks there.
Exactly. Green Bay is the only one that's not.
Right.
I'm really liking what I'm seeing with Teddy Bridgewater from last year, everything that I've heard this year.
There's no reason they can't come out and win 9 games, back into the playoffs, sneak in there as a wild card.
Very possible.
All right, so let's move off Adrian Peterson. We're going
I think that's the obvious choice and a good one.
At number two, Rick, this is a guy, I don't know if you agree with him as a comeback player, but I know a guy you really dig. I think Jason Witten, really down last year. I think it was a product of DeMarco Murray and his 443 touches. He's gone now. This is Tony Romo's security blanket. Still love that offensive line. But DeMarco Murray, Randall, I know their offensive coordinator, come out this week and said it's going to be he basically already admitted it's going to be a committee. McFadden, neither one of these guys is going to take on the full load. I think when you look at a Jason Witten, if the ball isn't being run as much, this is the kind of guy they use almost as part of your running game, the short passing game.
I'm not as high on Witten. I mean, you know, I love the guy and think he's, you know, a Hall of Famer, obviously. But he's 33 years old. Not totally done, obviously. 64 catches last year, 73 the year before. He had that one huge year, 110 catches in 2012. But you go back to 2011, 79 catches. I think he's going to certainly have an uptick from last year. Probably significant. I'm looking for him. What has come back to you? To me, I'm looking for him about 85 catches.
Yeah, he's coming off a 64-703. If he can give me 80, 900, and I need more touchdowns, and that's where he really crushed you last year. Where in the past, he's never a 100-yard, 100-catch, 1,200-yard guy. That wasn't his bit. But he lived in the end zone.
No, in fact, the year he had 110 catches and over 1,000 yards, he had 3 touchdowns.
Right.
It's some of those other years. Well, he was over 1,000 yards in 2010, had 9 touchdowns. He's been up and down with touchdowns. It would be nice to get him to 7 or 8, maybe 9.
You give me 8 touchdowns, 15 more catches, and 100, 200 more yards, I think that's a big comeback for a Jason Witt. Because now when you're talking 80, 900, and 8 touchdowns, Rick, the way things are shaping up, that's top 5 tight end. You weren't even playing Jason Witten at the end of last year.
And I'll give you that because where he's going to be going this year, if it does ring true or come back, you're going to get excellent value with him.
He's going to be the 11th, 12th, maybe even 13th or 14th tight end taken. I think you can get top 5 value out of this guy. I think you can't underestimate the impact on everyone with those 443 touches by DeMarco Murray being in Philadelphia right now. That is a huge, absurd amount of touches, and I think it leads to the question marks everyone has about DeMarco Murray, and I think it just bolsters everyone. Jason Witten, I think, the primary benefactor, because Dez Bryant, assuming he shows up, he's going to get his.
That's another little key in the thing. What if Dez Bryant does hold out? Who does he really have chemistry with? Jason Witten. Somewhat with Terrence Williams, but, you know, certainly Jason Witten.
I think Terrence Williams is huge, and I think Jason Witten could have 178 catches
without
Des Bryant. Because Tony Romo will lean on that man if he can get himself.
Oh, there's no doubt about
that. Well, let's look at it, too. With all those touches and all those carries DeMarco Murray had, I think you saw Witten in a more of a blocking role last year. Which really isn't his gig.
Yeah.
I think you take that element out of the offense. I think they're still going to try to run the ball just spread amongst two or three different guys. But you're not going to run it as much as when you have a DeMarco Murray ripping them off at 5.5, 6 yards a carry.
Right.
It's going to go down. They're going to throw the ball more. And I think Witten's probably the primary benefactor of that.
Very possible with that. Hey, we're Fliger and Briggs. We are going through Rick's article of top 10 comeback players for 2015. If you're listening live and you have a comment, 646-478-4679. Give us a call and scream at us.
Yeah, please. Call me stupid.
Yeah, 646-478-4679. Okay, let's get on to your next one.
All right, Rick. Number three. You're not going to like this one. And I'm going to put it this way.
You gave me some nice
I eased you in.
Okay.
And you'll be all right with number four, but we're going to wind you up a little bit here. And this is a guy you and I have been in lockstep on for years and years and have been right and have been called names and have been mocked and have been blocked and whatever else they do on the Facebook and the tweeters and the Hulu and everything out there where they can call us a-holes, they have. I'm getting a bit of the warm and fuzzies about C.J. Spiller, Rick. Here's why. Let me finish, and then you can attack.
Okay.
Yeah, you're ready. Lock and load. Yeah. I understand. And you're probably going to be right. I know it's not the same Saints offense of 3 years ago, but it isn't a Buffalo offense. The concern is, can he stay healthy? And I don't know that answer. If C.J. Spiller is to ever live to his potential, and with his athletic ability, Rick, we all agree he has that potential. If he's going to do it anywhere, he's going to do it inside and with Drew Brees. And let's be honest, to defend me in writing this at the end of the year when I'm trying to justify why I keep doing this, I got a real low ceiling to call it a comeback, brother. He don't got to do all that much to have a big comeback. I think C.J. Spiller does end up, while not being a huge player, I think he's fantasy viable when you look back at the end of 2015.
Fantasy viable, perhaps. He actually made, if you listen to our show on the Fantasy Sports Network, we are covering this weekend.
But this is the year he finally puts it together.
It isn't. He sucks.
Mm-hmm. You can tell we have no producer.
A little late on that one.
Yeah, timing is impeccable. But we are covering on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're running down my top 10 overrated players for 2015. And lo and behold, C.J. Spiller made it.
Because, CJ, a bit of a powder keg.
Because right now, July 1st, 2015, this guy, current ADP, is going 4-2.
That's too high.
To me, not sound fantasy draft strategy
that's too high.
All. And let's not forget that New Orleans declined the fifth-year option on Mark Ingram, and then all of a sudden Mark Ingram has that nice year. He performed at a very high level last year. I think New Orleans has their guy. I think C.J. Spiller is a supplement. They're going to use him sparingly. They know he's not an every down back by any stretch of the imagination. Don't ever kid yourself.
I like that about it, though. The expectation's not even going to be there.
Yeah, but, I mean, unless you have a really low bar, I mean, his current ADP is at 402.
Too high.
What numbers is he going to have to put up to qualify not only for the comeback player like you have, to even justify being drafted in the fourth round?
You can never justify 402 for this guy. To justify him as a comeback player, the ceiling on this kid is Darren Sproles. And this is what I like about you're coming in, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick. I could be way off base on this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like there were 3 or 4 years where the Buffalo Bills came into the season wanting C.J. Spiller to be the primary back,
yeah,
and Fred Jackson was going to be the secondary role, the change of pace guy. C.J. Spiller's not prepared for that role. Excuse me. C.J. Spiller is a PPR guy. He's a third down guy. He's a change of pace guy. Going into a Mark Ingram who's big enough, strong enough, and doggone it, people like him. No, that's something else. To be the every down back, for C.J. Spiller to fill that role, I think 70, 80 grabs for this kid isn't out of line. I don't think you're going to get much of anything out of the rushing game, but I think you get 70, 80 catches out of him, you get him in the end zone six or seven times, I'll take that in my flex all day.
I think
all
it's
day.
A freaking pipe dream. I mean, I'm looking at you. You look at his stats since he came into the league. He played in 14 games in 2010. He had 24 receptions. 16 games in 2011. He had 39. 16 games, and this I can't believe I'm saying this. He played 16 games. It seems like he's always hurt, but they're listing him as playing all these games.
It doesn't say how long he played.
Yeah,
it's still sort of like Jonathan Stewart, who we're talking about on the other show.
43 catches in 2012, the year that he had 1,200 rushing yards. 33 in 2013 and 19 catches last year. 80 grabs, you're dreaming. There's just no chance.
All right, maybe 75.
Not a chance. I'm just telling you, I'm not believing this kid. And
where I will agree with you, 4.02 is obscene. That's absurd. Yeah. That's craziness.
And I think, you know, he could become a tool on your bench to be used every now and again. But if Ingram's the guy, I don't know who you're putting him in over.
I think the ceiling for him is an every week flex. And I think he could perform with that just in a PPR format. I really do. The way they run their offense. The ceiling's Darren Sproles. That's a high ceiling, granted. But we've seen them do it. We've seen Sean Payton do it. We've seen Drew Brees do it. And it seems to me like this kid is built for that. Maybe finally he'll be utilized the way he should have been all along.
It's possible, and maybe just to jump, you know, not to destroy you on this thing, he was hurt last year and only played 9 games. Maybe him getting away from Fred Jackson is what he needs to do.
Couldn't hurt. Fred just keeps beating him down. Yeah, sit down, dummy. Yeah, I got this.
Yeah, we're good. Get out of here.
I got this. You sit over there and look pretty.
Exactly.
All right, Rick, this next one, I felt kind of bad putting this on the list, so I'll qualify it with this. I don't think anybody doubts their performance that this guy's going to put up. Last year was sort of Calvin Johnson. Last year was his first sort of injury plague season, and his numbers showed it. Where I view him as a comeback, Rick, this guy is getting drafted as low as 7 or 8 among wide receivers. Not 7th or 8th pick where he has lived, but as the 7th or 8th receiver in most drafts. Rick, this is Megatron, baby. Yeah, he was nicked up a little bit last year and hurt him. This is Megatron. If I'm picking in the middle of the second round and he's still sitting around there, I'm going to be at the draft board twisting my shirt over my head. I can promise you that. Yeah, just going nuts, I promise you. I'll be saying this.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
Wrong one. Come on, Cole. What are you doing?
Pure football knowledge.
This is talking about me.
You're talking about me.
Yeah. So I think this is the one.
Put him on the board. Hausha Mazzulli. Yeah. Got it. Championship.
That's what it's going to be if you're drafting, I believe, Calvin Johnson in the middle of the second round.
Hey, I'm not going to argue. It, like you said, it's Megatron, baby. I've seen some of our colleagues have him number one in wide receivers.
Rightly so.
Period. And, you know, if he
How does Calvin Johnson getting forgotten? And maybe as the offseason wears
because
on.
Fantasy football players have short memories. And they also have perception problems. LeSean McCoy had a terrible year last year. Really?
Except he finished second in the league in rushing.
Right. But he only had what? The 29 catches or whatever it was, 34 catches, which we weren't used to seeing. But he was still obviously an RB1. Calvin had a bad year. Like you said, he was nicked up. But he still had, and I don't even have the stats in front of me, about 85 catches.
Around there.
Something on that line.
A lot lower than what you expect from a
Calvin. Or maybe it was lower than that because he didn't play.
I'm efforting it. You go ahead with your point.
Point is, it's Megatron, baby. I agree with you. And, you know, Golden Tate stepped in and looked good. Now all of a sudden they have two legitimate weapons back there, and you can't just guard Calvin Johnson all the time because Golden Tate has proven he can kill you. So I agree with you 100%.
Now, everybody has given up. Well, I don't want to say everybody, but Calvin Johnson's taken a hit. And a lot of it's because some of the cartoon numbers some of those guys put up. Last year, 13 games played. So he missed three full games, and I'm certain he missed parts of other games. He had 71 catches, which is 71. Tremendously low for him.
Right.
Still over 1,000 yards at 1,077. Rick, and he was in the end zone 8 times.
Yeah.
8 times. We consider that a bad year out of the guy?
Well, let's not forget 2013. He only had 84 catches. He had 1,492 yards. See, he was a little bit hobbled last year. His yards per catch were down a little bit. And obviously his catches. Yeah, I mean, you put him in there even at 90 catches. You're looking at 1,500 yards.
Right. This cat's only had 100 catches one time in his career. In 2012, I'm stunned to see that. Just looking at his career numbers, only one time. He gets it done yards per catch, and he gets it done in the end zone.
Right.
12, 12, 16, 12. This is what this guy does. Assuming he's back and he's healthy, there's no reason he doesn't score 12 touchdowns. There's no reason he doesn't have – I won't even predict 100 catches. I'll go 85.
Yeah.
If he gets 85, he'll have 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns.
I agree 100%. How can you write him off at such – he's 29 years old. He is 6'5", 235 pounds.
Absolutely uncomfortable.
Megatron, baby.
That's it. That's simple as that. Megatron, baby. All right, Rick, I'm going to stay in the lovely city of Detroit for my number 5 comeback player of the year.
Okay, I see one legitimate comeback player of the year in Calvin Johnson, and I can only think of one other guy.
That's right. Your boy.
I'm going to guess Joik.
No.
See,
no,
that's the only one that I can see can be him.
Did you see Joik comparing himself to Barry Sanders?
Yeah,
shut up.
He said he's going to have 1,200 yards this year.
Shut up. All right. Barry Joik Bell comparing himself to Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Really?
Only Barry Sanders can compare himself to Barry Sanders. I won't even get going on that rant. Rick, your boy, Matthew Stafford, I have as my number 5 comeback candidate for 2015. Now, listeners, getting close to your speakers. This is coming from a perspective of a guy who drafts his quarterbacks late. Bear that in mind as I go through this. If you're not going after Aaron Rodgers, if you're not going after Peyton Manning, if you're not going after Andrew Luck in the first 3 or 4 rounds of your draft, and you're waiting till 8th, 9th, 10th round, somewhere in there, and you get to the point where a lot of these guys throw them in a blanket and pull one out. I might put Russell Wilson with his rushing yards up there amongst those elites. After that, where I'm looking for a guy who's a breakout candidate who I can get real value on, give me the guy who one time threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns, who has a presumably now healthy Megatron, and all of a sudden a breakout candidate in Golden Tate who just went completely off the rails last year. You give me these two back healthy with a good Joik Bell, not as good as Barry Sanders, but a fairly good Joik Bell, and an improved team in a division we talked about earlier with the Chicago Bears defense, for that matter, the Minnesota Vikings defense. Matt Stafford is a guy who was 3rd, 4th overall for a couple of years amongst quarterbacks. Give me a guy with 5,000-yard potential in the 10th round. I'll take that all day. That's where he becomes a comeback candidate for your boy.
Everybody remembers that 5,038-yard, 41 touchdown, 16-pick year. Great year, no doubt. Since then, the yards are there, but they've declined every year since then. He was at 49.67 the next year, 46.50 the next year, and 42.57 last year. His touchdown and interceptions after the 41 and 16 were 20 and 17, 29 and 19, 22 and 12. Matt Stafford is an average quarterback. I will say that you could look for maybe an upswing in touchdowns, but I think you're going to be 15 to 20 interceptions.
I can live with that.
Easily.
Give me 30 touchdowns.
People are 30 touchdowns and 20, 21 interceptions? That's brutal.
You said 15.
I said 15 to 20. Okay, I'll give you 19. 30 and 19, right, when Ben Roethlisberger is giving you 35 and 8, when Aaron Rodgers is giving you 42 and 6.
You can't compare him to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, no, you can't. Well, but 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns. Well, that's Aaron Rodgers' number. He's not going to see it. I'm telling you.
It's possible, Rick. It's just possible.
Come back somewhat. Yeah, I you know. And where you get the quarterback, very plausible. I mean, I'm not saying don't draft a guy.
Matthew Stafford or Colin Kaepernick?
Stafford.
Easily, all day.
Can't stand Kaepernick.
Matthew
Wouldn't have
Stafford,
him.
Andy Dalton.
Stafford.
Matthew Stafford, I won't even say Jay Cutler. That's just stupid. Everyone's taking Stafford there. Matthew Stafford.
That's a coin toss for me.
No, it's not.
Of course it is.
Jay Cutler?
Of course.
You're talking about interceptions.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing.
Ah, no.
Same thing.
Come on.
Same thing.
Oh, you got Jay Cutler love now?
No.
Wow. That's a toss-up for you?
I'm telling you.
So if I give you Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, you're taking Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Wow. How about Matt Stafford, Phil Rivers?
That's Rivers.
That's close, though.
Rivers. All day long.
I think I can get that production. I think I can get Phil Rivers' production out of Matt Stafford this year.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but what you get out of what kills me about San Diego Rivers is the last couple of years they can't seem to keep it going. Almost like Denver. I mean, they just sputter and spit. If they could finish a year, Rivers would be fine. Okay, here's Cutler. He didn't have the yards, obviously, that Stafford did. 28 touchdowns, 18 picks. Not much difference, right?
It's close. It's close.
19 and 12. I mean, I'll give you Stafford on that.
Now
one.
Alshon Jeffrey's out of town, too, though. You keep taking weapons away from Jeff. How about this one, flavor
I'll
of the month?
I'll give you Stafford on that,
I keep seeing it 12. Matt Stafford, Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, Tannehill.
Really?
Oh,
so you're all
in
on Tannehill. You're one of those guys.
Yeah, he's made my top 10 underrated players.
Oh, God. Everything with your list. All right, let's move off of Matt Stafford.
What do the old scholars and the prophets and like the disciples and all that. What did they go to, you know, when people sought them for wisdom, right? The scriptures, the scrolls, whatever. People come to me looking for wisdom. I open up my big book of articles of my wisdom.
The Dead Sea Scrolls. of fantasy football by Rick Briggs. Oh,
it's more like the
that could be an article for you or a book you could write.
Can
Dead
Sea Trolls. How's that? You know.
That's terrible as well.
Thank you.
All right, who'd have thought Matt Stafford would be the biggest hot button on this list? Moving on, Rick, I think we can both agree on this one. We want to talk about forgotten wide receivers. How about A.J. Green? Have you even heard his name this offseason? People have forgotten all about A.J. Green.
Short
memories.
You're
going to get this guy middle to late second round, and he's going to perform like a first rounder.
Short memories, I'm telling you. He was banged up last year, and I agree with it. You have A.J. Green. You still have Mohamed Sanu. Look, Andy Dalton, as inconsistent as he is, he's in between Stafford and Cutler. I mean, he's not totally inept. I mean,
no.
This guy was a couple years ago, was what, the fourth-rated fantasy scoring quarterback. And you still have that, like I said, you have A.J. Green, you have Mohamed Sanu, you have that dynamite backfield. There's no reason in the world A.J. Green shouldn't just explode again.
Right, I have 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns. I say write it down. I don't think anything he had last year was a nagging type of injury. He got hurt. He's had the offseason to heal up. Don't forget about A.J. Green. That's your warning there. Rick, number 7, I am staying at the wide receiver position. Now, I have to wonder if I believe this or I'm just rooting for it. But Rick, Larry Fitzgerald, and I've said it so many times on this show, and I know you guys are all tired of hearing it, from a physical skills perspective, it was and still is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And you saw that when Kurt Warner, when you had a legitimate quarterback in Arizona, you saw what Larry Fitzgerald was capable of. Carson Palmer ain't what Kurt Warner was that year. But he also ain't John Skelton, to name any of those other seven dickheads who they've rolled out there week in and week out. Larry Fitzgerald with a legitimate NFL quarterback. I think all this Floyd nonsense that we had to endure all of last offseason's died off. He's shown who he really is. Give me 16 games of Carson Palmer, and I give you Larry Fitzgerald as a top 20 fantasy wide receiver in 2015.
I tell you what, I don't see anything wrong, you know, with your analogy. I mean, I really like Larry Fitzgerald. He is one of the most gifted players, you know, or receivers, period. There's no question. And, you know, it's – there's no reason why he shouldn't. He's not – everybody says he's getting old. He's 31. I mean, that's not ancient. I mean, granted, you know, okay, but – let's not forget, the first year with Carson Palmer, he had 10 touchdowns.
Right.
I like that. I agree with you. I mean, 2014 was a horrible year for him because it was a worse year for Carson Palmer.
Right.
Carson Palmer went down with that knee again, and it just all goes, you know, Skelton was practicing with, what, John Brown mostly, yeah. And he emerged. And oh, there, John Brown's a new guy. You know, Michael Floyd was inconsistent as all get out.
All we heard about was him all last week, right. On the slant every week. Michael Floyd. He stinks.
Carson Palmer passed for over 4,000 yards in 2012 with the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
He passed for 4,200, almost 4,300 yards in 2013 with the Cardinals. I agree with you. Carson Palmer, the key is Carson Palmer. Now, this guy's 35 years old. He's had two bum knees.
Right.
They get a year or two out of him still healthy. Larry Fitzgerald could be fantasy relevant, and I'm not going to shy away from him. I'm not going to get him as my WR1.
No, certainly not.
But as a WR2, I think he's a legitimate candidate.
And you're going to get him at the point where you're drafting third and fourth wide receivers.
Exactly.
And I know this isn't a list of value. If this was a list of draft value, he'd be higher even than 7 on this list. I know this is comeback. I think his numbers go high enough to register him as a comeback candidate, but certainly I think you can have a tremendous, tremendous value for him, assuming Carson Palmer gives you 14 games or thereabouts. All right, Rick, now we're getting to a portion of the list that I think might wind you back up
the
a little
bit. The humorous portion.
You're going to mock it.
Yes, we're getting into the comedy section of the show.
Number 8, Rick.
Oops.
And, all right, here's where you almost have
to. He doesn't even want to say it.
I don't. I have to qualify it.
I qualify that you're a boob and you're just wanting me to get upset.
I don't think that's what this was. That's what number 9 is. We'll get to that shortly. I'm going to stand behind this one.
All right.
I'm not saying you're going to get number 1 production. I'm not certain you're going to get number 2 production. This is the best opportunity.
But this is
going to
be a comeback player.
He's going to come back, okay. Because he's so low that any modicum of success registers as a comeback.
Oh, great. Let's get an earthworm and try to make him into a ladybug or
something.
I
don't know what the hell that means, but I think he's going to certainly be relevant in terms of real football on a playoff team, and thus could – and I believe should have some modicum of value on your fantasy squad this year, and that is my boy, Run DMC, Darren McFadden. Boom. There goes the dynamite, Rick.
Okay. I'll go with you. He's behind one of the best lines in football. No question.
That's just pathetic.
It is just pathetic. I'm trying not to destroy you. Run DMC is going to be hurt by week 5. Let's just lay it out in the line. How long is the key? He may come back in week 8 and become, you know, fantasy mediocre, which is what you only can expect from him. I just can't a comeback. What is a comeback player when you're talking Darren McFadden? Are you going to be starting him every week, Rick?
I think he has the potential for that as a flex guy, as a number three. I think he could be a number three running back. Look, the injuries, he could get hurt walking in onto the field for the first day of training camp. We know the skill set this kid has. This is the first real opportunity he's had with a real NFL franchise behind a real NFL offensive line. I think in a PPR format, working in conjunction with a Randall, I think he has value. And look, it's going to be easy because I'm going to be able to put a number in front of you at the end of the season that's higher than any number he's ever had and justify him as a comeback player. I agree. I think that we have to have the discussion, what fantasy relevancy does he have? I think he could be an every week flex. I would be comfortable going into the season with him as my third or fourth running back. I am that in on Darren McFadden again.
One thing that concerns me about Darren McFadden, last year he didn't get hurt, played 16 games. The year before that he played 10, the year before that he played 12. Okay, so we'll count those as fairly, you know, productive seasons as far as playing, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to give you these numbers, and you're going to say, well, you know, it's Oakland. But let me finish. 2012, 3.3 yards a carry. 2013, 3.3 yards a carry. 2014, really jacked her up, 3.4.
Yeah, buddy, heading in the right direction.
Yeah, but it was Oakland. Latavius Murray was 5.2 yards a carry last year.
Okay.
That tells me a lot. It was the same team.
You're right.
Darren McFadden has had basically one good year in his career of what? Since 2008. And he had 1,157 yards. He has not been over 708 yards the rest of the year. I mean, rest of his career at any time. The guy doesn't seem to get it done. And you know what? I am all done with Darren McFadden.
Not me. I'm giving one more year. With the argument being, I don't think you can help but succeed behind that Dallas offensive line. They are that good. DeMarco Murray is not.
Which is why Joseph Randall is going to be the next star in Denver.
In Denver, maybe. Off to Denver because D-Mac's going off. He's getting off in Dallas. He's going to be rolling up to the White House.
Flieger and Briggs here. Ever dreamed of running a
commercial? Just pushing buttons, anything to shut me up. I don't care for that, Rick, not one bit. All right. We could, you know, we haven't done that. I'll just push buttons.
Slot zone. I just wanted to get something for me. I just missed the wrong button. That's a
technique on a tight end. It's Andre Williams at the Hall of Fame last year.
All right, let's get on to more of the humor.
You're going to be second string all your life, boy.
That's your boy Randall there. All right, let's get on to number nine, Rick. This one I don't feel so good about.
But you felt good about Darren McFadden.
I do.
Okay.
I do. I'm standing behind it.
All right. Well, I mean, you've been a McFadden guy. And I'll tell you what. Everybody out there, Rick is nothing if not persistent.
Right.
In his wrongness. He will live and die by the sword. There is no question about that. You will get your convictions and you stick to them. And to that,
I stuck
you know,
to Ryan Matthews and I got a year out of him that I got to flex, right?
1 year.
Right. Exactly. It was a good year.
Yeah. Like it was Sidney Rice a 1 year.
Well, the year after he had a good year, I believe, yeah.
No, I had him in that year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was all over him for a couple
of
years.
You were. I had Sidney Rice. Yeah.
All right, Rick, let's go to number nine. This one is based on, let me just read what I wrote.
Okay.
He's Bishop Sankey, Rick. I'll just throw the name out there as my number nine comeback player of 2015. Let me just read this to you, and then you can assail me in my
character
once again.
I want to see the official write-up of convincing me to make Bishop Sankey happen again.
That's right, because he's going to happen.
Okay.
Easily the most overvalued running back of the 2014 draft season, Sankey comes into 2015 with exactly zero expectations.
True.
I think that's the key here. Sean Green and his big contractor out of Tennessee, leaving Sankey as the only game in town. I don't think you can argue with that. While he isn't likely to produce top 15 numbers, Sankey's increased workload and lower price tag make him an attractive option for fantasy owners. I mean that, and I stand behind that. What the results are going to be, I wouldn't put a lot of money on Bishop Sankey, but you can have him for a song. I think that's important. And there's nowhere to go but up. He was atrocious last year. A guy coming in with that much hype has to have some type of ability. I think he goes up. I think the value you can get, he's a potential at a comeback. I really think he is. He's not competing for carries. You know, what does Mariota bring to that offense in his rookie year? I don't know. There's a lot of flux at the quarterback position. That Tennessee team was just bad last year. So this is the year we find out. So I'm going to put myself on record that Sankey's going to be a comeback guy, but I think this is the year you really find out who he is, because it's got to get better in Tennessee, and I believe, therefore, it's got to get better for Bishop Sankey.
Okay. Let's I'm trying to go from point to point here.
You're loving this, by the way.
You're right. He doesn't have much, much competition. They did pick up Dexter McCluster, but he's a change of pace guy. He's not going to challenge for anything. Now they do have David Cobb, that a big kid, 229 pounds out of Minnesota. I think there's your competition right there for Mr. Sankey.
Perhaps.
If he does, perhaps nothing. Because I'm telling you what, Bishop Sankey, I am tired of people trying to make him happen. And the poor kid hadn't been around that long, but it just seems like that's what we've heard. Okay. And you say, you know, well, with all the hype that he had, you know, there's got to be something to it. Let's not forget Toby Gerhardt's hype last year.
Right.
Well, there's nothing there, pal. And Bishop Sankey, I think, is a tick above Toby Gerhardt.
Wow.
Because he's going to be playing, obviously. I think there's potential there of comeback. I mean, I don't want to totally diss him, but I don't think that Bishop Sankey is ever going to be a fantasy guy more than, say, a flex.
Well, I think if he becomes a viable flex, he's
I'm
come
not
back
even saying
a long
really
ways.
Viable. Well, I mean, he was a starter last year. People died by this guy last year.
Oh, certainly. He killed people. He was drafted as a number two running back last year. That's right.
I drafted
Riggs
him.
Got his hand in the air. That's where all this vitriol comes from.
Of course.
You
but
burn
no.
Rick Briggs, you burn forever. Just go ahead and unfollow him on Twitter and see what happens.
But let's look at Tennessee. I think they are going to be a little better. I think it's a good point that you made here. Look, Kendall Wright really came on. I like this kid. You got Delanie Walker, tight end, highly sought after for fantasy. Of course, you have Bishop Sankey. They brought in Harry Douglas. Nice veteran presence. Nothing spectacular, but he can certainly get it done and can certainly help the wide receiver core. You have Green Beckham as well. I think they're going to be a little bit better. They're in a good division where they could actually win maybe a couple of games, I would think. I won't say that you're totally wrong on Bishop Sankey.
Oh, that's very magnanimous of you.
Thank you. Okay, now here's my question to you.
Okay.
Okay, he's making one of your top 10 comeback players of 2015.
Right.
Where are you drafting him at? Because that's key.
I got to tell you, Rick, and this is going to sound stupid, but so do most things I say, so I'm all right with it. In a year where there is so many question marks, so many RBBC messes that we don't even know how they're going to shake out, I would draft Bishop Sankey as a number 3 running back, wherever that falls, mid, what, Rick, 7th, 8th, 9th round, probably somewhere in there. Base.
You think he'd last that long?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's where I'm going to take him, based solely on the fact that, and we could find out a lot more once camp begins. Maybe
sure.
This big horse you're talking about wins that job or proves that he can take some carries. But as I sit here on July 1st, Bishop Sankey's the only game in town. He's going to get the opportunities. I think that's important. Now, going in fully cognizant of the fact that he could throw up all over his shoes and mine and be a zero like he was last year, certainly that can happen. I am willing to with Bishop Sankey, and you we've sort of hit on it with, I think, Tennessee getting better. I am willing to put 60% of the onus on Bishop Sankey's issues and problems last year on the team. I think as the team improves,
they were bad.
If I see an incremental improvement out of Tennessee, and I see the same out of Bishop Sankey, I'm willing to give him a pass in his rookie season. This year is going to be make or break it. I'm willing to take that risk with him. To your question, does he last the 7th, 8th, 9th round? I don't know what his ADP is. I think anything above that, knowing what a risk he is way too high. Granted, but if I can get him down there, and that's probably where I'm getting my third running back, I'd be comfortable with that. I'd slide him in a flex for a couple weeks beginning of the year. He could have come out of this looking like a genius, and that's what I'm hoping for, because I will just be, this will be the Bishop Sankey sports show if that happens.
Okay, we'll let that one go.
Just remember this. Remember this.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be remembering
this. Well, you won't remember
one.
It if I'm right.
No.
Yeah, that'll change.
Nah, I mean, that's...
What are you talking about? I never heard that. I didn't do the show that week. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It was 4th of July.
Yeah.
All right, Rick. Number 10, I don't think is near as hot button, at least not somebody you're as passionate about. But this is one I believe in. In a year where tight ends are kind of hard to come by as you go down through the list, I think Jordan Cameron... Love him moving down to Miami. They use the tight end down there. This is a guy 2 years ago had 80 grabs and 917 yards. Then he remembered he played for the Cleveland Browns, and he was real banged up last year in 2014. I think this guy has a chance in Miami. Tannehill, a guy you obviously like. I think this guy has a chance to go back to those numbers and be a legitimate top 5-6 fantasy tight end in 2015.
Oh, I have to agree with you on that. I mean, look at Charles Clay when he was down there.
Right. They used and abused.
Sure, he did.
Huge around the goal line, especially.
Yeah. Cameron, you know, is a little bit of a concern with those injuries, but, you know, that's, you just have to take that for what it's worth. And a healthy Cameron, I think you're right. He's going to be solid. And Miami, I think they're putting together a pretty good offense down there, and they certainly like to use the tight end. And what do you have? 2013 with Miami had 63 catches, and Charles Clay.
Right.
So, and 58 the year before. So, I mean, you're looking easily between, 55 to 70 catches, I would think. And I dare say Cameron's tools, skills, are better than Clay's.
Oh, no question about it. I don't even think Clay was a natural tight end, was he? Wasn't he a fullback or something? Tight end wasn't his natural position, if I'm not mistaken. I could be completely making that up, but I really feel that
way. Yeah, but you do that a lot.
I do. I just make crap up, and you people all buy it. So that's the cool part about having the microphone.
Yeah. But, no, I agree with you. I think Jordan
Cameron.
This
is a guy I'm going to be targeting. I really think I am, as I always end up finding myself looking for tight end value later. Yeah, because I think Witten, based on names, is going to go a little ahead of where I'm even going to be comfortable, even though I view him as a real comeback story this year. I think Jordan Cameron's another one of those guys you can just steal at the end of the draft.
Yeah, and if you can find tight end value like you're talking about, and not spend the pick on, of course, Gronk is a different animal.
Well, that's a different story.
Exactly.
Right?
But, you know, if you don't want to spend the pick to get your Olsen or your Martellus Bennett,
you don't want to give up that third rounder, which I generally don't want to.
Right. You know, I mean, this is where you find tight ends that can save your team.
Right.
You know. And I tell you what, I mean, one of these kind of tight ends that can, not really a comeback player, obviously, but is Heath Miller. I mean, that's
right.
The kind of numbers you're looking for in these value picks.
It's something consistent.
That and over, between 60, to 70 catches,
yeah,
something
a PPR,
like that.
Right. Find me a guy, give me 60 catches, 700 yards, and 6 or 7 touchdowns.
Right.
with the wealth of talent I build up by waiting till the late rounds to get the tight end, I can make that up, and I'm going to be very comfortable with that.
Exactly.
All right, well, we only got about 5 minutes left. You have basically roundly mocked 70% of my list here.
I beg to differ.
I'm going
to roundly mock only 60% of them.
Okay. I want to put you on the spot here.
All right.
Give me a comeback. Who do I not have on the list who's going to be a comeback player?
Boy, that's a good question there. I'd actually have to think about this. We should have prepped a little bit before the show so I could actually think about it.
That's why it's called putting you on the spot.
I'll tell you what. I think Rashad Jennings is prime for a comeback.
That's a good one. I considered him. He was on the list. He certainly was.
I
only worry about the effect of Shane Vereen.
Well, you know.
It's good for New York, great for Eli. I don't remember which show we talked about that on, but we spread a little Eli love. But
there's another candidate right there.
Yeah, he could have been on the list.
Now, I can't say that that's really huge comeback because, believe it or not, folks, Eli Manning was number 9 in quarterback scoring last year in fantasy formats. And I could see him. I got him ranked 9th right now this year. I could see him being a top 6 or 7 quarterback easily.
6 or 7.
He could.
You love Odell Beckham there. You love a healthy Victor Cruz. You got a Shane Vereen.
And then if you have a Rashad Jennings as a comeback player of the year, I really think this Giant offense can be very potent. And let's not forget, we're about in a time frame where Coughlin wins another Super Bowl.
That's true. With a 9-7 team.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I that would be my first guess just right off the top of my head, excluding your list. Rashad Jennings is a comeback player. I'm targeting him.
Yeah, and I think you're going to get him cheaper. I believe I went all in on Rashad Jennings last year. He crushed me. He really did. And I was paying a third round price tag on him last year. I don't believe I'm going to have to pay that price going into. I don't even know what his ADP is, but
yeah, as of right now, I'm not real sure. But we'd have to look that up. But right now, it's last time I saw, it was like mid-third, if I'm not mistaken.
See, that might still be a little high. I mean, you're talking a number 2 running back at that point. Are we comfortable going that high on him?
Well,
you comfortable with him as your 2?
If I've got a good 1, and just for an example, say I've drafted a Jamal Charles.
Okay.
And then coming back, maybe I pick up, pick somebody, Randall Cobb. You know, I've got a good wide receiver. Depending on who's there, I think I may go with him on that because now I've already got a number 1 back and receiver. Now I can start supplementing in this talent. It depends on who's there, obviously,
right,
as far as running backs. But if you're talking – this is where I like to play this exercise, you know, Rashad Jennings,
okay,
or, you know, pick somebody.
All right. Let's do it. Rashad Jennings or Jonathan Stewart.
I mean, over Jonathan Stewart, for crying out loud.
Rashad Jennings, any of the dummies in Atlanta.
Oh, Jennings.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's where we're at. Really? The situation being what it is, I think this guy probably is a third-round guy. He's probably a top 24 guy. I think he almost has to rank there.
Okay, I'm thinking maybe not quite as high, but not that far below. I mean, he's in the category with your Frank Gore.
Yeah, okay, there's a good one. You know, yeah, Frank Gore, I'm good with that.
You know, Carlos Hyde.
That's close. See, where I'm taking risk. Oh, the San Francisco's so bad.
But
yeah,
what are you
Carlos
getting with
Hyde.
That San Francisco offense?
Right.
That's my point.
So bad. I think I love the prospect of Carlos Hyde, but that 49ers team is going to be so bad this year.
Right.
So bad.
So, I mean, I'm looking for Rashad Jennings, low end RB2.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably fair. It's a risk, but it'd be a comeback. If he finishes there, that would be a comeback.
I agree.
All right, Rick. Well, we are out of time. Pulled off another one today. Thank you so much for joining us here at AsylumFantasySports.com. We'll be back next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere in there. Follow us at Asylum Football. Find out. Don't forget the entire Asylum Sports Network. Monday nights we have
Chris Heil and Sports Rants.
Fantasy Sports Rants. Going gangbusters. Well, Thursday night, fantasy football consistency with Bob Lung. You got your racing times with Robin
Alan
and
Robin.
Alan.
Yes, indeed.
On Saturday,
on Friday.
Our boy Nick Ficcarelli on Sundays.
Yeah.
Don't miss all those. Check us out, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Saturdays, Cablevision Channel 147 in New York and all over the place. The little Gary Busey Amazon gimmick that I love so much. Beyond that, all that, we'll do her again next week. Until then, we'll see you.
Can't wait. Take care.
Cowboys. Might be my favorite song of all time.
Now you're talking.
So you're not going to complain about this one and take
Waylon
off your
Willie?
Head?
No. No chance.
You never know with you.
Oh, yeah, you do. Cowboys like smoky
old pool room. This next one I love.
Willie's voice is like velvet, man. It's awesome.
Waylon on this line right here. Yeah. I love it. Little warm puppies and children and girls of the night. I love how he nails that. It doesn't get any better than that. And see Blake Shelton do that.
Yeah.
A jerk. Blake
Shelton. Do you have that album or CD of the Outlaws? It's
no.
The Outlaws.
I need to get on that.
Oh, it is. You would love it.
I might do me a download after
yeah,
the show.
It's great, man.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than this.
No. They don't get much wilder either back in the day.
Waylon dead, right?
Yeah.
He's dead. Willie's still kicking.
Yeah, Willie's still kicking.
Isn't he making his own weed now or something?
Yeah, he actually has his own brand or something. I don't know what they call it. Willie weed?
Willie weed. That's right. It's not the wacky weed anymore. Yeah. It's the Willie weed.
All right, get out of here.
Yeah, let's get out.